Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a privilege, and it's a pleasure, and also humbling and somewhat terrifying to get up here regularly. And I don't think that's ever going to change. Well, the first part and that will never change, but I don't think the latter part is going to change either. It seems the older I get, and hopefully, the more mature I get, the more I'll understand the gravity of those other things. He is a great God who loves us dearly, and will stop at nothing to draw us close to himself. And part of that, and part of my walk, if you notice today, but I'm wearing my walking shoes today. And so I have this thing with one of my feet. I've like a heel that just never seems to heal. So I have pain that radiates through one of my feet when I wear shoes that aren't good for me, and as a result, I'll have this pain, and I'll walk with a bit of a limp by times in the mornings. You don't want to see me in the morning. Maybe you're saying, amen, Pastor, I can sympathize, I know your story. A good pair of walking shoes or running shoes certainly help. They help with my gait and my walk. And one of the other things that is really good to do is to actually walk. So a couple things happen when I go for a walk. The Lord speaks to me. And it's a wonderful thing just to get out in nature and to move my body. And it's amazing how my conversations with the Lord are so much better for me. And we talk about so many more things than I would sitting at home, or sitting in the office, or sitting in the car, so to speak. So, all that to say, welcome. Welcome to you online. Thanks for joining us this morning. Happy Father's Day. Can hardly wait to see what my family has done for me today, right? hint, hint. Well, I was so excited. I hadn't been back to the old homestead in probably 20 years at the point of this memory that I'm sharing. And as I turned down onto Trafalgar Road, where I grew up, my mind raced with a myriad of memories of growing up on our little 5-acre property. And as I got closer, I could see the barn that my father had built, the place where, I'll say this very lightly, we raised and rode our horses. The running joke with my dad had to have a full-time job to support his hobby, right, of raising horses. But a lot had changed since I last stepped on these hallowed grounds. The first change I immediately noticed was that the home that I grew up in was gone, and I was aware of that. There had been a fire, and it had burnt down, and a new home had been established, albeit they totally put it in a different location, facing a slightly different direction within the property. And the old garage that we shot hoops and we tinkered in my dad's workshop, it was gone. But the barn my father had built was still standing. Well, you can probably understand this. The property, which seemed so massive when I was a child, in actuality was rather small. And the barn seemed smaller still. I don't know how we fit everything in there. Well, as I walked past the barn, I could see the tree line of a little brook, officially named Sammy Brook. I have no idea who Sammy was, why it was called Sammy Brook, but even in official provincial records, this little brook is called Sammy Brook. Well, some of my fondest memories were of the brook that bordered our property on the north and on the western ends. There is a story about me running down and actually jumping into the brook when I was a child and terrifying my mom, and I think as the story goes, I don't think my rear end even got wet. My mom was so fast to run and grab me out of the flowing waters of Sammy Brook. Well, Sammy Brook was where I learned to fish. And because of the beavers that were there, active, there was always a significant dam that was also well-stocked with speckled brook trout. Well, my heart raced with each step that I took closer to the brook until I stood on the edge of a dried-up old ditch. That was Sammy Brook. This was not at all what I expected. This is not at all what I envisioned or hoped for when, with mounting anticipation, I had made my nostalgic trip back to Dundas, New Brunswick, where I grew up. To say that my expectations were not met, in reality, would be an understatement. Has that ever happened to you? Think about it for a moment. Something that you knew would pay off, and you had such great anticipation of this incredible experience, that something was going to be a huge blessing, but in reality landed with a dull thud. Maybe it's a trip that you're just like so excited to go on. And maybe you had anticipated a destination of delight only to arrive at a toilet seat of trouble. And the fairy tale in the end was nothing more than a filter of deception and despair. That's kind of what happens within us. I'm amazed at how I have filter detecting mechanisms within me that work quite well when I'm talking to other people. But how is it that I can fool and trick myself and get myself into toilet seats of trouble? But what does the Apostle Paul say about this dichotomy within us? Well, he says this in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 17. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Remember, when the Apostle Paul is referring to this in his passage, he's referring to the fact that you can try all you want to follow the Ten Commandments, believing and thinking that those are going to bring life to you, eternal life. But the Apostle Paul says, well, actually, God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us how far we fall short. And so when I give into this and I just simply do what my old nature wants to do, I will be in agreement with the law. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And Sharon, in her translation of the scripture, it referred to the flesh as the sinful nature. Now, there is a conflict going on within you and me between the spirit and the flesh, or the sinful nature. You know, the term flesh, as we see it in the New International Version, is not referring to the physical body. Your body is not bad. It's just your body. It's neutral. The term the flesh is referring to the desires of the sinful nature. These are simply contrary to the ways of the Spirit, the ways of the Spirit of God, the ways of the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit that He has given to us. Now, if the Holy Spirit controls the body, then we will walk, we will live in the Spirit. But if we are led by the desires of the flesh, we will live a sin-filled life. And we will walk in a way that will be in conflict with God's intended purpose and plan for us. Nikki Gumbel shared an amazing illustration and analogy of how this plays out in real life. I said there was he had gone to a children's soccer match, a football match, and it's rather organized, and you can understand the UK takes their football very seriously, do they not, Doug? Absolutely, and so of course this was, even though it was a children's match. You know, they have the lines all drawn out, and they have, you know, their equipment and the coaches and the trainers, and the officials didn't show up for the match. And so the parents looked around, and, well, they saw this strapping lad by the name of Nikki Gumbel, and they said, "Nikki, you officiate." And to his credit, he tells the audience, "You know, I don't really know the rules of football that well." And so they started to play, and one of the kids kicked the ball out of bounds, and instead of blowing the whistle, he just let them play, and they ran out of bounds, and then one kid got kicked in the shins, and they were lying on the ground crying, and he didn't blow the whistle, they just let them keep playing, and before he knew it, everyone was yelling at him. And then the officials showed up. They were caught in traffic or whatever. They were a bit late. And then they restarted. They reset at center field. And they played within the boundaries of the rules of the game. And they had a delightful game that was competitive and filled with joy. And everyone had a great time. You know, that's God's purpose and plan for you. God doesn't do anything to hurt you or harm you or take something away from you. God loves you and He wants the very best for you. And His intended purpose and plan for you is to walk and live by the Spirit. The flesh will promise delight, but only brings disaster. It brings a toilet seat of trouble. These two ways have very different appetites. Warren Wiersbe illustrates this when he's referring to Noah and his time on the ark with his family, and when he releases the two different birds to see if it is yet safe to come out of the ark and reestablish civilization. And we read that he releases a raven and a dove to see if it's safe to leave the ark. He writes that the raven, which was an unclean animal, by the way, a carrion-eating bird, when it found decaying carcasses to feed on, subsequently never returned to the ark. Now, on the other hand, the dove, a clean animal, when released, came back when there was nowhere safe or habitable, and didn't return when there was a clean and sustaining place to settle and live. And that's when Noah knew that the waters had receded and it was safe to leave the ark. Opposite appetites, very different outcomes. Our old nature is like the raven, always looking for something unclean to feed on. Now, when we have a new nature in the Holy Spirit, we, like the dove, will desire a place that is clean and life-giving. This is the battle that wages within us. Ready for it? You already know the answer to this. Every day. Now, a few things that we can draw out of this passage today. First, the focus here is to remind us that we need to continually live by the power of the Spirit. This is not a, well, I received Jesus and I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I no longer need to worry about that stuff. Jesus has me and nothing else will take its place. Well, the Apostle Paul is pretty adamant here. We need to continually live by the power of the Spirit. Paul is not writing this letter to some group of perfected saints that have discovered the formula for perfection. No, he instead reminds us that we must walk this way. Every day, always in an attitude of obedience and submission to the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. He's not talking to just the uber spiritual ones here. To do this, he calls for everyone to live by the Spirit. Are you a parent? Then you need to walk by the Spirit every day. Are you a sibling? Then you need the Spirit in your life. Are you single? You need the Spirit of Christ. Are you a teenager? Are you elderly? If the answer is yes to any of these questions, then you need this passage in your life as well. Well, here's the hint. We all need to hear the words of Paul. Now, the Greek word here used for walk is peripatite. Don't ask me to say that five times. This is a common term used when talking or describing walking in a particular direction or to walk after someone in particular. Now, the philosopher Aristotle's students were referred to as peripatetics. Also, don't ask me to say that a few times. For the believer to walk in the Spirit means to follow our teacher around, to be led by him, to be walking in his direction. To be led by the Spirit. When we are led by the Spirit, Jesus is at work in our lives. And he is the one that creates new appetites. He is the one that gives us new power to overcome and resist the flesh. Well, that's part one. This is a walk. This is a continual walk. This is a daily walk. This is a marathon. This is not a 100-meter dash. Well, number two, we can overcome the flesh. We can overcome the flesh through the power of the Spirit. How does a believer overcome the old nature when it is capable of producing such horrible sins? We read in the passage that these sins actually create the result of other people, individuals being devoured. You know, we've often talked about this. If you're not careful and you don't have a healthy understanding of why you do what you do when you interact with other individuals. You end up just take. And you end up like literally draining the other person of emotional strength and their desire to even be in relationship with you, and you manipulate them and you use them for the gratification of the sinful nature. We can overcome the flesh through the power of the Spirit. Well, how does a believer overcome the old nature? Well, Paul states here in verse 24 that the old nature and its appetites must be crucified. So just as a little aside, I would just share this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not going to be able to do this. Paul talks about this in Romans 6 when he refers to our being identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And when you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, you become a part of his family and Jesus becomes a part of your life. And you receive the forgiveness of sins. And you are resurrected, a new creation in him. So Paul refers to this in Romans 6. He refers to our being identified with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus not only dies for us, but we die with him. Jesus died for me to remove the penalty of my sin, but I died with Jesus to break its power in and over my life. So here's the truth. And maybe you've been wrestling with something in your life that just seems to be stubbornly, consistently hanging in there and you're not able to overcome it. Here's a little truth, a little aside. The flesh has already been crucified. The flesh is already, the sinful nature has already been crucified in Christ Jesus. We need to hear this truth and then we need to act accordingly. Hear the words of Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and following. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Well, number three, how do I do this? Like seriously, how do I do this? Well, you abandon it. You neglect it. You starve it. Let me explain what I mean by that. So I grew up as a kid believing wholeheartedly that if I just had the proper sin management program, I could do this life thing and I would be okay. You know, some people have terms for it, right? You might call it purity, or you might call it legalism. You might have a list of, well, I don't do this and I don't do this and I don't do this, right? You got the I don't list. And one day I realized that I was spending all of my, and failing, by the way. So first off, I just want to completely come out with that, right? So my sin management program, while I wasn't a very good manager, I failed. And then I realized one day that I was spending all my energy, all my efforts in focusing on all of the things that God actually wants me to abandon, to reject, to starve. And we a lot of times get it all wrong. We keep our eyes focused on the thing we don't want to have consume us. And if I spend my life on a list of my don't do's, and that's my only guiding light, then my priority for walking in God's kingdom will be a life spent focused on all the things that God doesn't want me to be focused on. At best, it's just going to make me a bitter person. And at worst, it brings death. But if I were to instead fill my life, my heart, my mind, and my actions with the Spirit of Christ, the result will be my ability to produce a harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The flesh will be crucified with him, and in my life, its power will be completely broken. Walking in the Spirit is not the absence of evil. It is actually the presence of God's Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not the absence of evil, but actually the presence of the good. Don't settle for the toilet seat of trouble. Choose to walk in the Spirit. Choose life in abundance. And when we do that, Jesus reigns. And his rule and authority, the things that he wants for my life, that he is actively creating and preparing and has prepared in advance for me, are the things that will be in my vision, in my life, and in abundance. Last year, we had the privilege of purchasing a new home. Wonderful experience. The family that worked with us and walked with us through it, they're an amazing family. And so there are things that we're doing, and one of the things was the lawn needed care, and it wasn't from neglect or anything. It's just things happen, right? And there were different bugs, and I think I heard some word of cinch bugs and grubs and all that. You guys know all that stuff, right? And so I don't know if I'm just wanting to get my hands dirty or if I'm just too cheap to hire somebody to do it. But I've been trying to redo the lawn myself, and I've discovered something. When you put a lot of grass seed and you mix it in the soil and you mix it all in with that topsoil that you buy, and then you put that on your lawn, guess what happens to the weeds? They starve. They get choked out. They die. So I have this section of lawn where we threw grass seed on the top and not much really happened. But the seed that was mixed in with the soil, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Drive by, 38 Ricky Place. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. That grass, it's full, it's lush, right? Just like the top of my head, Bob. It's amazing. You know what? God wants that for you. And when Jesus reigns in our life, there will be so much kingdom grass that will grow on the lawn of your life that there won't be a spot for a weed anywhere. Choose life. Choose to walk in the Spirit daily with Him. You will never regret it. Everything else is a toilet seat of trouble. Heavenly Father, watch over us. Guide us and direct us, Lord, as we walk out of here and we continue our daily walk of being renewed in our knowledge of Christ, hidden with Christ in God. Father, that we might flourish, understanding and living forgiven lives, free from the power and the penalty of sin. Father, if there's anyone here today and they're struggling with that, Lord, we pray and ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and fill them. Lord, that if they need to receive forgiveness of sin, then Lord, you will do that right now. Lord, perhaps it's someone who has just gotten to a point in their life where they're going through the motions, and we would pray and ask, Lord, that you would give them strength and stability in their feet. Their feet that are shod with the gospel of peace, that they might be able to walk with the good news that they are forgiven and free. Father, free us. Free us and set us out, Lord, to live for you. Jesus reigns. He is the Lord. He is King. And Lord, we choose him today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.